Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, Maz, what's your point on the Patriots defense?
Okay, so in the offseason, before the season began, okay, when camp was coming along and everything else, and we talked about the landscape of the AFC, I think to a man, including the fan base, we all said the same thing. The AFC sucks. There's nobody out in the AFC. The one team you got to worry about is Kansas City. We said it over and over and over again. The point is this. Nobody saw Baltimore coming. Bill Belichick certainly didn't fear the Houston Texans. But I think Bill looked at Kansas City and said, boy, we had to go in there to win the AFC championship game. They got a dynamic young quarterback. That's the team we got to worry about. And I think Bill built the defense accordingly. Okay, so this brings me to this week, because this whole defense, this was built for Kansas City. This defense was bringing back Collins, the depth in the secondary. It's about stopping the pass. We have talked all year long about the ability of some teams to run on the Patriots. Why? Because they built it to defend the pass. They have the number one defensive passer rating in the league. Number one. They have a great secondary, and they have probably better linebackers than they've had in a long time. So now Kansas City is here this week. Your offense is what it is. The game is at home, and you need a win. This is the game where the defense, I think, has got to step up and win the game for you. And if you're going to sit there and say to me, well, how are you going to do that against Kansas City? Bill was anticipating this. He knew this was coming. And Kansas City's strength and offense is the wide receiving core. The Patriots have never really had a huge problem with Travis Kelce. He's got 2 touchdowns in 5 games against him. They body him up and they smack him around and he doesn't really kill them. The guys who have killed the Patriots when they've played Kansas City have been the wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, and the guys coming out of the backfield, Kareem Hunt, when they had him. Last year in the second half in the AFC Championship game, you know when that thing changed?
It was Damian Williams,
when
right?
They started throwing at Damian Williams. I think he had 0 catches at the half. He ended up with 66 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air in the second half. And now, Kansas City has instability at running back. Damian Williams has been hurt for a lot of the year. LeSean McCoy, I think, is cooked. So I heard Zoe talk about this the other day. They've got all these weapons. McCoy's not the same player. Williams has been banged up. I don't think they can challenge you with a back out of the backfield in the passing game like they have before. Kelce, you can smack around, and you have a great secondary.
You can cover him with the secondary.
I think so. I like the matchup for the Patriots this week. I think they were built for this game. I think it was all about Kansas City. And I look at it and say, look, Tyreek Hill can fly, but, you know, Hardman is a third receiver, really. Now, they have Watkins.
He's fast, though.
He can fly. He can fly. I'm not telling you that. But you have Jonathan Jones who can run. You have Gilmore who should be able to cover just about anybody one-on-one. You have a veteran safety that's been around for a long time. You have, I'm assuming Jason McCourty will be back, or J.C. Jackson. Hell, put 6 of them out there if you want. If Kansas City wants to run all day in this game, Bill will let them. The Patriots were built for this team. The Patriots' defense was built to play Kansas City. That's what they were built for. They're home. They need the win. Go out and win the effing game. The defense has got to win this game.
Okay, meanwhile, could Deion Sanders have been onto something? Murray is our social media coordinator, and he's just come across something.
Yeah, let's read too much into a post by Des Bryant, shall we? Official Des Bryant.
Should we do the sounder?
What's the sounder?
The breaking news sounder?
No.
So Des,
just wanted to play it.
I just wanted to be a social media thing.
Even we won't stoop that long.
Des Bryant with the blue check mark on Instagram posted this photo of, it's like a Kyrie Irving type of manifesto that reads as follows. Money in position has always effed up the culture and will continue to do so until we realize it's more to money in position and blah, blah, blah. It's not even worth reading. But
life.
There's a comment from someone by the name of God Fam Life, who says he's going to the Pats. Confirmed. Mark it. Des Bryant then responds to God Fam Life and says, maybe, LOL. So who knows? Maybe Des Bryant. They're sniffing around Des Bryant. You did have that little rumor mongering from Deion Sanders yesterday on NFL Network.
So
former Cowboy. Maybe there's a connection.
The same rules that apply to Gronkowski apply to Des Bryant? In other words, if he was going to report, didn't he have to be here on a certain date? And has that date come and gone?
That I can't speak to.
So I just know
Gronk's was November 30th. I don't know about Des Bryant.
I thought the Gronkowski thing was related solely because he's a Patriot.
I have no idea. I'm asking.
Didn't Des join New Orleans last year in December?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and he immediately blew out his Achilles at the first practice, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to the rules, but I feel like it was different. I think he joined New Orleans in December last year. I think he's just dinking around. That's what it feels like to me.
Me too. All right, so.
But boy, the Patriots are going to bring in every a-hole in the league. Seriously, Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, now this guy? Like, how many guys can you bring in that are trouble children?
Okay. Those are two thoughts this hour. Let's go back to your phones. A lot of you have been waiting patiently, and we'll get to the Brady retirement story here in a second. Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little bit to this conversation. It does feel like Brady has had a fairly significant increase in the amount of time he's been able to hold on to the ball since Wynn has come back, and yet the receivers aren't getting open. They showed a play the other night. He held the ball for 6.5 seconds and couldn't come away with a completion in that scenario. So that, to me, is on the receivers.
Mike, sometimes they're not getting open. I'd even grant you most of the time they're not getting open. But to say that they're never getting open is just flat out wrong. The play we've talked about a bunch with Bedard yesterday and Aprilo here just a little bit. End of the second quarter, you have a chance for 3 points. You're on the 39-yard line. First down, Brady thinks a blitz is coming. And so he goes deep down the left sidelines to Philip Dorsett because that's the play. You're press man coverage outside. You try and beat it up over the top against the blitz and get rid of the ball. And they didn't come. They didn't come on the blitz. And Brady had all day back there. He didn't have to go up top to Philip Dorsett down the left sideline. If he held the ball for a second, looked across the field, he would have seen Jacoby Myers on an in cut on his right side coming wide open over the middle for what would have been an easy 10-yard pitch and catch and then probably run after the catch if he put him on the right shoulder, which Brady almost always does. And that play was there. And this is my point. It's not like every time they're covered like a glove. Sometimes they are. A lot of times they are. But there's other times where there's open space and an open receiver, and either Brady doesn't see him, doesn't put it on him, or the guy runs the wrong route. And the third thing probably happens more than the first two. I acknowledge it.
Right. It's not just a Brady thing.
But this is what I keep going back to. There are plays there that aren't being made. And I still stand by that they have the talent to do it. They just have to execute it.
Yeah, there's a major, major disconnect between Brady and the receivers other than Edelman. Major.
We've got Ed in Northampton. He's up next. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I've been waiting to say this. You guys dance around it seems to me, because it sounds to me like it's deeper. It sounds to me an awful lot like Belichick is really still stung by the Garoppolo thing and was figuring that Brady would be gone by now. And so why give him great receivers, because he might hang around for a year or
Ed,
so.
He tried.
Why do that?
He tried to give him Antonio Brown.
Yeah, no, that may have been his joke. He may know that Antonio Brown would blow up.
Oh, my God, and then give away $10 million of Kraft's dollars just to play the joke? Stop it. I don't mean to yell at you. Thank you for the call. But, I mean, let's be real here. This whole narrative that Bill intentionally left him high and dry is freaking asinine. He gave him Antonio Brown, and then when Antonio Brown blew up, he went and overpaid for another guy in Mohamed Sanu. And he drafted a receiver in the first round. What are you talking about?
If Bill had it his way, Brown would still be here, too.
Exactly. So stop with this. Now, you can say Belichick swung and missed. He failed. He had some bad judgment on Antonio Brown, bad judgment on N'Keal Harry. Fine. That's fair. But don't say he intentionally gave this to Brady. That's ridiculous.
No. Once again, when Bill Belichick makes a mistake, it's by design.
Oh, my God. And so what? You don't think they would have taken Gronkowski back if he had said yes? They waited forever. They waited on Gronkowski to the point where they couldn't sign anyone else. They were waiting for him for so long. So stop with this, that he was intentionally burying Brady. That's silly.
No, absolutely not. I mean, to me, I'm not, you know, you won't hear me say that. But do I think Bill looked at it and says, Tom's going to get older here. He's going to get worse as time goes on. And so I got to be prepared for that. Yes.
We've got Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Well, you guys have been all over it, but I tell you, there's a lot of responsibility to spread around to everybody. But when the offense troubles like they've had continue to linger like this, I see coaching having to come more and more into focus for the biggest part of the problem. I think when you look at how the young receivers don't grow, along with the lackluster play calling of McDaniels, don't you guys see that this really is where the core of this lies?
Yes. And Maz made the point yesterday, and the more I think of it, the more I think he's right. It's the plays are there, and they can't get on the same page. So when you have plays to be made, but you can't get on the same page, what does that usually go to? Coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big part of it. Again, it's not working. Whatever it is, it's not working. And I turn to McDaniels because I look at McDaniels and say, you know, he gets all this credit for being this great offensive coordinator. And to me, what an offensive coordinator is a guy that makes the most out of his talent. So when you have Tom Brady back there and you give him receivers, that's automatic. So like that, you could line up and throw on every play and you didn't have to run because Brady was so freaking good and the connection was so good that that's all you could do. It was fine. You were that efficient and that good that it was fine. I don't think they can do it that way anymore. And the comment we played earlier from McDaniels, where he says, you know, we got to stick with it. We got to work with it. He even says at one point in that comment, this has proven to work for us in the past. Has it? With young guys?
No, when? They seem to usually struggle with young guys.
Right? When's the last young guy they really developed? None of the young guys ever get it. Ever. Now, meanwhile, I look at Kansas City and I say, Kansas City brings in Tyreek Hill. He's a stud. They bring in Mecole Hardman. He's a stud. I mean, stud's a strong word. But they integrate these guys right away. Why? And independent of who the quarterback is, I think because Andy Reid's a better offensive coordinator than Josh McDaniels, and Andy Reid can figure it out. And McDaniels just knows how to do it with Brady and relying on Brady, and that's it. Like, to me, that's a big part of it.
Meanwhile, change it. Meanwhile, staring down the barrel of Tom Brady's final month as a New England Patriot. Tommy Kern seems to think so. We'll get back to that story right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a big commitment. Sitting here laying here 3 days after the year, getting my Achilles worked on and my thumb. And you go, what are we doing this for? You know, what are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
And so we ask, should Brady be doing something else? Has he lost his conviction? And that was from 2 years ago now. I feel like it's never been more applicable. Because I don't know if conviction is the exact right word. But he's lost his something. Because
passion?
Passion, conviction. I mean, I still think he's a passionate guy. And I still think he has conviction for his craft. But I don't know. Do you feel like he's enjoying himself or that he's fully invested?
No.
Because I don't. He's not fully invested like he used to be. He's just not. He's not the first one in and the last one out. He doesn't even show up in the offseason, even though he's here in town. Not to keep going back to that, but it's not like he, you know, because of family reasons, lives halfway across the country or the globe or something. No, he's in Brookline. They're practicing in Foxborough, and he won't even go down there in April, which is, so I look at it and say, what, just like he's asking there, like, why would you come back? You don't believe in the people you're working with. You don't like the way they're compensating you. You don't feel that the organization you work for really has your back. You don't think it can get better. You lose your temper really quickly because you don't believe in the people you work with. I look at you, and I don't feel like you're really enjoying it. So what's going to change next year? They're not going to turn around and pay you next year. Your money's going to go down, not up. You're still going to have to work with new and or young receivers. N'Keal Harry, is going nowhere. He's a first-round pick. They've invested in the guy. You're going to have to work with this guy. You don't like working with him, it's obvious, or you don't believe in him. The coaching's going to be the same. It's still going to be a defense-first team. You know, the whole thing, what's really materially going to change? So why would you come back?
Good question.
And I don't think he should.
Well, if it's what it is now, he shouldn't.
I mean, and so it would be one thing if, you know, he loved the young kids and he worked with them and he invested in them and he was supportive of them and he came in the offseason to make sure that, you know, because he was energized by the whole process. I don't think he's energized by this whole process of resetting the Patriots offense. I think he's worn down by it.
What if they give him 2 years?
So the contract can change it because, you know, it always begins and ends with the money. So if they gave him a real contract, that 2 guaranteed years at the top of the market, does that change his attitude? Okay, I'm here for 2 years. You believe in me? You know what? I'm going to spend some extra time with these kids and believe in them. And does the whole attitude adjustment start with the new contract? Maybe, Maz, it might. Tom Curran writes on NBC Sports Boston, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Curran writes that beyond the Chiefs game, beyond the here and now, the bigger story is the end of Tom Brady's career as a Patriot. Curran writes that unless there's a radical course change in the next 90 days, that's what's coming. The team had every chance the past few years to give Brady an extension that would allow him to play until he's 45, a goal he's stated on numerous occasions, and they passed on it repeatedly. Most recently, last August, when the extension Brady was waiting on turned into a simple salary bump for 2019. And that raise, which got him to $23 million, which is still $4.5 million less than Jimmy Garoppolo's average salary and $10 million less than Jared Goff's.
That's insulting.
That extension came only after their opening offer was rejected. The opening offer was just a $3 million raise. And those insulting incentives they had him take the year before, none of which he reached. And if that were on the table this year, he'd be miles away from. So that's what they wanted to pay him. He finally said no to something, and they said, fine, we'll just give you 8 guaranteed without the incentives. But Curran says if they come back to the table at all, it will just be another lowball offer. So they're not going to give him a real contract at this point. So Curran says, do they even bother to sit down? Do they even bother to sit down at the table and talk, or do they just realize that they've come to the end of the road?
Well, it might be that. I mean, again, and that detail about the offer, the $3 million with the incentives, the $3 million raise with the incentives. And someone emailed this in, and I think it's just worth bringing up. Don't you remember there was some talk in the preseason about him not going to the Detroit game? You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I'm wondering, maybe this all coincided with that particular point in time. They made him that offer. He says, no, I'm not doing it. And in fact, you know what? I'm not going to Detroit either. And then all of a sudden it's, you know what, we'll bump it up to $8 million. It's fully guaranteed to 23. Will you go to Detroit, please? And they did. I'm just, you know, I'm spitballing.
Yeah, no. There was a little rumble about
that?
A Wildcats,
yeah,
right?
There was a little thing there in the preseason about, is he going to get on the plane and go to Detroit? And so maybe it's all connected to that on some level. I still wonder, though, Mike. I still think it's more about the years than the dollars. I do. I think Brady looks at it as insulting that you're making me play the end of my contract.
2 years, $50 million.
If they gave him the Drew Brees deal, would he do it?
2 years, $50 million.
Right.
Yeah, I think he would do that, yeah.
I mean, I think that that's fair. given what the history has been. He's still underpaid, but he's always been underpaid.
2 years, $50 million. So they give him an actual raise, but everything else is the same? I don't know if he does it.
But a minimal raise. But he's always been underpaid. Always. So right? But he's never had to play in the final year of his contract.
Okay, what do you think he'd rather do? 2 years, $50 million in New England, still working with N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, and whatever else they bring him. And
all the crap. Yeah.
All the crap that he's got now.
Yeah.
Okay? So the current conditions are the current conditions. They're not changing. The offense might get appreciably better, but it might get better, but how much is it going to be appreciably better? I don't know. 2 years, $50 million, the same conditions, or call it 3 years, $90 million in Miami or the L.A. Chargers. The Chargers, who are already surrounded by talent across the board, or Miami, who probably has all the cap room in the world to bring in Antonio Brown, bring in Rob Gronkowski. They'd have to trade with New England. They just can't sign him as a free agent because he's still under your rights, but work with me. That Miami builds an entire offense around him. He's in South Beach, perfect place to launch a TB12. Giselle's more than fine with South Beach, I'm sure.
It's a much happier wife.
International location, much quicker hop to Costa Rica and what have you.
TB12.
As we just said, a good place to launch TB12. It's okay. So 2 years, $50 million for another year of this crap, which he hates, or 3 and 90 in those conditions I just gave you in Miami. What would you rather do?
I don't know. That's close.
I think it's the latter.
It's close. Because, again, we say he hates it. He hates.
I'm doing that for effect.
No, I know you are.
He's clearly not. He's not.
It's not an ideal working environment.
I don't feel the joie de vivre. I don't feel the vibe. I don't feel like Brady is enjoying it, invested, has the conviction to help turn this thing around. And that's what the offense is sort of doing. Like, it's in the middle of a reset, a reboot, something like that.
Absolutely.
And his current rights, does he want to stick around and try and change it? He said Brady doesn't suck, not by a long shot, but his tone and expression this season have often conveyed a feeling of frustration that his current situation sucks. And does he want to stick around to try and change it? Do the Patriots even want him to?
So that's a bigger question to me. Would they even ever consider 2 years and 50?
And this is another thing with the Patriots that I look at it the same way. I say the quarterback has not been a big part of your success this year. You're 10-2 on your defense and your special teams. You still have the greatest coach of all time who is still relatively in his prime, if not the heat of his prime. You're going to bring back Brady, and now his cap, even if you pay him 25, his cap number is going to be over 30 because you still have dead money from all the previous restructures. I think it's like 6 or something. So you're going to have $30+ million on your cap at a quarterback position that you don't really use or take advantage of. You're still going to win on defense and coaching and special teams. Meanwhile, this guy that you're devoting $31 million of cap room to doesn't believe in your young players, won't come in the offseason to work with your young players, basically turns his back to them and abandons them as soon as they make a mistake in a key game. Why would the team want that?
I'm not sure they do. I think that's really the big question is, would the team be willing to do that?
I wouldn't want it. If Brady was all in on the kids and spent all that time with them and believed them and worked with them and nurtured them and all those things, and then that's different. But why am I paying $30+ million for a guy who, again, this is for effect, hates them?
I don't know. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. And so, again, now look, if you look at it from a practical standpoint and you say, what's the fair deal? Like, if they really wanted to satisfy both sides and they had to meet in the middle.
The Drew Brees deal.
The Brees contract.
Yep.
Yeah, the Brees contract is it. I mean, that's the way you say, okay, Tom, stop pouting. We'll give you the 2 and 50. Robert says, all right, I'm not giving you 3 and 100. You're not getting that, but you meet somewhere in the middle. That's the one. I don't know if the Patriots will do that. I don't think they will. And so, again, they will paint it as we were happy to have Tom back. We were going to give him another year if he wanted to, but he wanted out.
He left. Oh, right. Believe me, the Crafts will do everything they can to pass off this decision. It was Bill's decision. It was Brady's decision. He demanded that we take the franchise tag off him. He's the one that, because they, and I mean, I can see it. It's a big PR hit. You let Tom Brady go.
Yep.
So that's one they're going to have to live with. I think they should live with it.
Yeah.
I get a boss move. I do. I get a Don move. It's no. Even the biggest player ever here is not bigger than the organization.
Look, the hardest decisions take balls. They do. You just got to have balls to make.
I can already feel myself.
That's a kiss of death, though. When you say something's a Don move, we typically have seen how those things
go. I understand. I understand. Some Don moves work. But that is, that's a real Don move. That's saying, you know, but I'm already aggravated that I know they're not going to live by it.
Oh, no. They're going to spin the crap out of it.
They're going to put it on Bill or Brady?
On Brady. This is what Tom wanted. We felt like he had the right to do it, so we gave him that power.
But the answer is, the truth is, if ownership gave him a contract that was at the top of the market and gave him security, they'd still have him.
Correct.
They just don't want to do it. Right. And I don't blame them. I think they're right for not doing it.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, again, if we're talking about the football decision, I felt that way a couple of years ago. Like, you know, as it related to Garoppolo. Now, we are where we are, and they've been to two Super Bowls since. So clearly, they both got something out of it, which is fine. If they weren't going to do it then, though, I don't know if they're going to do it now.
Okay, so the end of Tom Brady in New England. Your reaction to that after Murray's update?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
You want to keep doing this through your mid-40s?
Yeah, I do. I've talked 2 years with my wife. I've negotiated that thus far. I still got a little further to go.
So it's debatable how big of a piece the family consideration is. He said that to Jim Gray again, who's quite excited by the
creep. Oh, don't I know, Tom? Happy wife, happy life, as the saying goes. I'm tickled.
So Brady, you know, says 2 years ago, I've negotiated 2 years with Giselle. And then, you know, beginning of the second year, they put the house on the market. Like, it's all lining up for this being it. But you think that's sort of overrated, Mass? You think that's overplayed, the family thing?
Well, I think, look, I mean, she's in his ear. There's no question about it. Like, when you hear that thing and you say, he's listening to her. I mean, you know, she's got pull on him. There's no question about it. I still, though, I think of what's at the core of it, because I think she's always chirped at him. I think the fact that and I mean that in, you know, like, I don't mean that in any
stupid
harmful
sport. You're going to break your brain. I hate this. It's, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Like, I think that's been going on since they met. Like, you know, I don't think that has changed.
How does it go, Murray?
Will you stop playing this stupid sport? I hated it. Tom, why aren't you looking at me? Tom, you're going to break your brain. It's not good for you. It's the concussion. Please leave me alone.
Like, I think the variable for him is the contract. It's the one real thing that has changed this year, that he doesn't have anything beyond this season. All of a sudden, it's like, they don't want me.
Yeah, but it's an easier sell for him if he wants to keep playing a 45, if he gets her out of this frozen hellhole, they can play somewhere, you know, where it's warm.
It's true.
And she has more business opportunities, like in Los Angeles, or ground zero for all models in Miami.
Yeah, listen, I agree with that part of it. I don't, you know, I would ask then, why are they, you know, moving to Greenwich? You know, that would be my question. Then why are you going there? What's that, you know, tropical? All of a sudden, Connecticut?
No, but it's
closer to New York.
It's her place.
Yeah, so absolutely. But, I just think if the contract thing had gone fine, he would have said to Giselle, two more. Just give me two more, 45, and then that's it. It's over. but you got to give me two more. We're almost there. And he would have fought it off. But when the team doesn't commit to him, then he looks at his wife and says, maybe you're right.
So Mass says it starts with the contract. Billy in Rhode Island, do you agree?
Here's what I'm thinking. Let's put our feet inside Brady's shoes for a second. There's been about 20 different topics on what's going on with this team. First of all, I'm with Maz on the contract. I think that had a lot to do with it. But he had a monkey on his back. He had Garoppolo. He got rid of Garoppolo. He was in there talking with Kraft. So he got rid of the monkey, but he put himself in a worse place than he thought he would because he thought they'd pay him a long contract. But they didn't. So he did that for himself. Now he's in a bad situation with players that aren't so great, but he's really overreacting to everything. And don't forget, Garoppolo's having a great year. So that's playing on his mind, too.
So I don't really...
So the pressure is getting to Brady, as crazy as it sounds.
Okay, well, that last piece, I agree with you. I think he overreacts, and he's really impatient, and again, the fit on the sidelines was the third series. That's really all you need to know. Third series, early second quarter, they're just down 7-3. The game has barely begun, and Brady's already. And, you know, Orlovsky in his clip, even, you know, there was one point where Brady says, I'm done. It's like, dude, it's the first half. So his fuse is low. There's no question. But I don't think it's about Garoppolo having success with the Niners. I think it's all insular in what Brady's doing or not doing here.
I don't think he bats an eye over Garoppolo anymore. I don't. And when I say the contract again, I prefer the word commitment. The team didn't commit to him. They didn't commit. And as that story goes, you know, with Garoppolo again, and this is hearsay, but go with it. You know, why is Garoppolo here? Why don't I have my contract? Why is Garoppolo here? Why don't I have my contract? They finally trade Garoppolo, and it's, well, where's my security? Where's my contract? And the answer is, your security is now in San Francisco. We got rid of Garoppolo. You're fine. And so the second part of it never happened. He never got the deal. He gets to the final year of his contract for the first time in his life, and they let him play into it. They don't give him an extension for the first time ever. So he looks at it and says, they don't want me anymore. They really don't want me anymore. They want me to leave.
Tim in Holland, your thoughts, please. What do you got for us?
I had a couple of thoughts. The first one was, I've never been a fan of Mike Tomlin, but this year it's starting to change my mind a little bit. Like, I was wondering if you guys starting to think that he's maybe more than just a cheerleader. And also, I'm kind of looking at this season as a silver lining. It's really showing me that Bill Belichick can win at a high level with an average quarterback.
Okay. I like that second piece.
Which I already knew.
Which I always believed.
Yeah. Well, right. That's what I should say. I believed that.
I believed, but we haven't seen him do it in a long time. He's 3-1 with Garoppolo and Brissett. The 11-5 with Matt Castle. That should be enough for folks, but they still said, oh, he's only a product of Brady. Well, Brady's not really Brady, and they're 10-2, and this is what I think they would be with another quarterback.
He'll find a way.
Yeah. Tomlin has shown me something.
He should get Coach of the Year votes. Doesn't mean he should win it, but they started 1-4, and that, you know, they're right now the sixth seed in the conference.
With, again, no quarterback.
I mean, unbelievable.
No
really.
Quarterback.
And I'll tell you, like, the thing that's impressive about Tomlin to me, because I still don't think Tomlin's much of a tactician. Okay. You know, I wouldn't call him a master strategist, but boy, he gets his team to play and buy in, doesn't he?
That team easily could have bailed on the season.
They're 7-5. They were 1-4, if I remember
right.
Yeah, 7-5 with bums playing quarterback.
Mike in Maine, your thoughts?
Hey, yeah, listen, I come from the days, I was a young kid, of course, 10 years old watching Jim Plunkett. I watched Steve Grogan. I watched Tony Eason. Brady's brought nothing to this team but wins. He's won at a high level.
Right, Mike.
He's brought a six. So I'm like, if he leaves, so be it. I wish him well. And if he doesn't, I hope they sign him. But this guy owes me nothing. I got a 21-year-old son who's watched football and never seen a team without Tom Brady. I hope he stays. But if he doesn't, I would love to see him do what when he went to Kansas City, Joe Montana brought that team right to a playoff.
Okay. So I hope most fans feel the same way.
I agree that he owes you nothing.
Owes you nothing.
And in fact, I would say you owe him.
But do you think Brady's motivated to do that? In other words, you know, there's a debate out there. Is it the receivers? Is it him? Is he on the decline? Is he off the cliff, Max Kellerman? Like, all this whole thing. Do you think Brady's still looking to prove those people wrong to the point where he'd want to go to the L.A. Chargers or the Miami Dolphins with a totally retooled offense and go 12-4 and vie for the MVP. Do you think he'd want to do that?
I doubt it. I certainly don't think he'd do it because of the media. I don't think he gives a rat's ass about that. And so I think the national commentary on Brady has been so far off the mark, it's not even funny. You know, again, I was listening to Nick Wright the other night on the ride home, and he's saying how, like, Brady's deteriorated. And I feel like saying, have you watched the games? You know, and I know he hasn't. Like, you can only watch so much of everything, so I get it. But I think Brady's fine. I think
physically.
Physically, yeah. He's fine.
I think he's deteriorated in terms of
attitude,
confidence, attitude, patience, those sort of intentions.
Absolutely. But in terms of being able to play the position, he can still play it.
Same guy.
Yeah, he can still play it. And so I think it's just that he's, you know, losing his desire to deal with all the bull crap that goes along with it. I don't think that that's it at all. But in terms of would he want to do it to stick it to people? I wonder if part of what would motivate him is I'm going to show the Patriots I can still play.
Okay, so right. Boil it down to whoever, whether it's the media or do you think he'd want to prove that? And maybe it's just prove it to Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think so, for sure.
Yeah,
one of my core beliefs is never underestimate the power of spite. Like, if he wants to stick it to Bill because he thinks, oh, I can do this with Jared Stidham, fine, I'll go somewhere else, and I'll try to get Antonio Brown, and I'll convince Gronk to unretire, and I'm going
to
show
you. Now, see, that, to Kern's thing, I think everyone's a winner in that spot. Other than
agreed.
The boo-hoo Brady crew. But again, I think there's tremendous value to letting Bill turn the page with the new guy who's invested, because I think that's starting to add up a little bit. Brady's not invested in the young players, and he's not doesn't have the patience to go through this retooling on the offense, and it's starting to I don't know if it's working. So I think there actually could be a benefit to the team if they move on. Brady gets to go prove himself. The whole media take complex has tremendous fodder. I mean, everybody's a winner there. Talk about scoreboard watching. You think the Garoppolo stuff is bad? I mean, you get to watch Garoppolo every week and shake our Jimmy at you, you know, every Monday or whatever.
Yeah, the Brady Industrial Complex.
Oh my God.
It'll just get bigger and crazier.
The Brady take industrial complex would go through the freaking roof.
Well, and I'll tell you the other thing is you mentioned it for Brady, like the landscape. What's Edelman going to be like next year?
Oh, he'll be the next one.
My point is,
get me out.
Right. The only guy he's got is Edelman.
Edelman, he's taking a beating this
right
year.
The point is, it's almost time for Edelman to go. You know, and I love Edelman. The fact that he's become what he's become is amazing. But he's getting beaten to a pulp. When Wes Welker got to this age, they were done with him.
Okay.
So they're going to be done with Edelman soon.
Tom and Quincy, go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, when people are calling up talking about, you know, it's the end of the world, you know, the team sucks, the receiver suck, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, yeah, Brady's having a tough time. His season's awful, all the crap. They are 10-2. I will say this much. The people that are calling, pissing and moaning about the receiving core, right, are the same friggin' people that are like, why don't they go get Dez Bryant? Why don't they go get the other washed up dink from another team? Dallas gave up on Dez Bryant 4 years ago. He's been out with an Achilles tear, and he's supposed to come back and offer something? The guy's a total meathead. Like, you think that he's going to come here and learn? Not one bit. So fact of the matter is, they're 10-2. They ride out the rest of the season, regardless of what they have. They're probably going to make it to, you know, the AFC Championship game. Basically, depends on this game, since this is the one that everyone's looked at since last year. And then we will go from there. They hit the Super Bowl. They'll probably play Seattle. Who knows what happens? But enough already with the has-been washed-up receivers.
Okay, I'm with you, Tommy. I think they can make the Super Bowl. I still feel that way. And this time, if you play Seattle, trust me, Pete's going to run it. That's what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. He's going to hand it off this time. And you'll probably stuff him, and now we'll second-guess him for running the ball.
I mean, my two favorite callers, over the age of 50, guy in Boston, under the age of 50, Tom and Quincy.
Okay, thus concludes the call-in portion of the program. Coming up next is the final word. I'll give you an update on our Christmas in the City auction as well. And, oh, by the way, programming note, off-air show returns tonight. Myself and Ty Anderson, 6 o'clock on Facebook Live, 6 o'clock sharp. It's presented by Ace Ticket, so join us for that. Why don't you? But the final word is next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal in tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, we got a last-minute entry from Hardy, who put together a 10-question segment from yesterday. Bedard late yesterday, what with his travel troubles coming back from Kansas City. So
right.
Join the show from 4 to 6. So here's the 10-questions recap.
Nice.
Together by Hardy.
Hey, guys. Nailed everything.
Freddy Kittens.
Meow.
Was photographed over the weekend wearing a T-shirt. Is this a big deal or not, Greg?
Yeah. Sort of like, I mean, you know, yeah.
Josh Shaw was suspended over the weekend for placing bets on NFL games. Is that a big deal or not?
Of course it is. You can't, especially with the, you just can't.
I'd like your quarterback power rankings, please. Right now.
Wilson, Mahomes, Jackson, Breeze, Rodgers. No Brady.
No Brady.
Where's Brady?
Where's Brady? Number 7. Work with me now on a fantasy situation. Let's say Brady does retire. It's really not that much of a fantasy. Let's say Brady retires after this year. Let's say that Belichick does not want to go with Jared Stidham or a rookie that he just takes. He would like, preferably, a veteran quarterback currently in the league who could shake free next year, either in free agency or trade. Give me a guy. Try and be realistic. We're not trading for Pat Mahomes, okay? Try and be realistic. Give me a veteran currently in the league who you think would be a good fit for the Patriots that they could get.
I don't like any of them.
Tool bag time. Give me the biggest tool bag Kansas City Chief of all time, please.
Running back Larry Johnson. Just a total bag.
Updated NFL power rankings, please. 1 to 5.
Ravens, Seahawks, Niners, Saints, Patriots.
Ooh. Okay. Give me your top four again, please, though. Who is the biggest current draft bust playing in the NFL today? When I say playing, he has to be on a roster.
Marcus Mariota. He just sucks.
Give me the most important game left on the NFL schedule. Whole league. Give me a game.
Week 16. Buffalo at New England.
Oh.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm just saying, you're talking everything.
Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, let's grab ass.
I like it sped up.
Sped up. Yeah, me too. That's great.
No, yeah, faster the better.
Absolutely.
I think we should do the whole show like that.
That brings out the buffoonery just a little bit, just a hair more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.